I know, because I didn't get these to you. Go ahead and share your one, and I'll share mine.
We have a request for Lawson Spence, who is in the hospital.
Okay. And I'm going to ask our listeners to continue to pray for my brother, Dean. He had the surgery yesterday where they go up through the groin with wires and they open arteries and things like that. And it's called an MMA embolization. And I read up a little bit on that, and it talked about it. It's a new procedure. They are able to use some glue on your brain. And my niece told me last night that they did that. They used some glue on my brother's brain, which he'd been having a brain bleed for over a month. And also he does have pneumonia, but the doctor thought he came through the surgery very well. And he said one of the side effects of the glue is that sometimes it will get in their eye and cause them to go blind. But he'd never had that happen, but that's one of the side effects they tell you about. Mm-hmm. So I just want us to continue to lift him up, and that he would come to know the Lord. At one time, he did, mm-hmm. and he even did some preaching as a kid in high school.
Wow.
And then life took some different directions, and so he hasn't walked close to the Lord forever.
Wow.
And so we're just praying that this will bring him to the realization that God is the Almighty Healer, and he needs him in his life like never before.
Yes.
And then we want to pray for our sweet sister Monica, who had an appointment with a cardiologist today.
Okay. All right. I have a quick praise report, too, I'd like to share. A friend of my daughter's was in a serious motorcycle accident on Sunday and was, like, on a ventilator, everything. He should not have even lived. And she got a report this morning that his oxygen's down to zero. They're taking him off the ventilator. He's breathing on his own. He's responding. They think he's going to be okay, and that is just the power of prayer.
Amen.
And what God can do. And so I want to give God glory for that healing. And let's go to the Lord in prayer with these. Father, we just thank you so much that we can boldly come to your throne with our needs, and that your word says that you listen and that you care and that you respond. And so, Father, we lift up Lawson to you right now, who's in the hospital. Father, I pray that you would touch his body, heal him in the name of Jesus from head to toe, and fill his room with your presence, Father, that just that peace would come over him and he would know that God has touched him. And Father, I lift up Neva's brother, Dean. I thank you, God, for the good outcome from his surgery yesterday. Father, we ask that there be no side effects whatsoever in Jesus' name. And that most of all, that you would use this time to bring Dean home, Father. That he would know that he knows that all of this physical healing and recovery that's happened in his life is only because of the touch of God. And Father, that he would recommit his life to you and allow you to work in him. Father, I pray that you would just move in his heart and his life in a way that he cannot deny it. And we thank you for it and give you the praise. And Father, we lift up Monica this morning, who has an appointment with the cardiologist. Father, we pray that you would just, first of all, give her peace and give her a good report, that when she comes back, we will hear that everything is fine and that her heart is strong and healthy because you have intervened. We thank you for it, and we give you the praise, and you get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I mentioned earlier that our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries. Apostle Casey Elliott is the leader there. They're at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30 and church at 11, and church again on Sunday evening. And then they have, I believe, church on Sunday evening is at 6 o'clock. And then we want to thank the Refuge Church. They've been one of our sponsors for quite a while. They are at the New Liberty Church building at 18304 East 1140 Road at Sayre. And if you need more information, you can call Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey at 729-0956. They have Sunday school at 10, worship at 10:45, and Sunday evening at Bible study at 6. Wednesday Bible study at 7 and Wednesday youth group at 7. And then Gateway Church, one of our new Facebook sponsors, is located at 4772 West 3rd Street in Elk City. That's a half mile past Tractor Supply. Chasten and Brooklyn Music are the pastors there, and they would love for anyone to come and join them just as you are. They have fellowship worship, or they have Sunday morning worship at 10:30, and they have a Spanish service at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Sunday worship at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday night Bible study at 6:30 and 7. If you need to talk to them, you can call 225-4646. They believe that we are stronger together. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Barber Nice and Ford in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, and Ford is America's brand. We want to give thanks to America's veterans. So all veterans, please join us for lunch on Friday, November 11th from 11:30 to 1 at our dealership. We are thankful to every veteran. And lunch is on us, as well as great deals on every Ford just for you. That's the Barber Dyson difference, only at BarberDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
We hope today's edition of the...
Oops, we almost had the outro. We do hope today's edition of the Hour of Power blesses you.
Yes,
and Renee, it's been a blessing so far, and I know you have some more to share with us about keeping your focus.
Yes, before the break, we were talking about being intentional in purpose. And one thing I wanted to mention is it's okay to enjoy what God's calling you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's kind of this idea in the church world or in Christianity that God's only going to call you to do things you don't want to do. Mm. You know, and we see those stories in the Bible. You know, Moses didn't want to go before Pharaoh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And sometimes there might be things God wants us to do that we seemingly don't want to do, but sometimes I think it's more that we're afraid to do it. Like Moses was afraid to speak before Pharaoh because he didn't believe he had the skills. But the beautiful part about it is God didn't go to Moses and start telling him how wonderful he was. He told Moses who he was, who God was, because the outcome never hinged on Moses. It always hinged on who God is. And that's the same thing in our lives. Our pastor Sunday's preaching about rowing against the wind, and he talked about I am, and he pulled this scripture out and what it literally meant when they were on the seas. You know, the disciples were trying to go across the sea and the boat was rocking, and Jesus walked out there on the water and said, I am. And the literal translation of that is, the I am is here.
Mm.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The I am is here.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
I can't mess it up. You know? Because the I am is here. And so as long as our motives are for God's glory, then your work is not selfish, even if you enjoy it. And it's okay to enjoy what God has called you to do. In fact, I think he loves it when we do. there's power in purpose. And Paul is our great example of always having joy. You know, he said in Philippians 1:13, I am in chains for Christ. But he wasn't saying, look at me, I'm a martyr for Christ. I'm in prison because I have preached the gospel. That's not what he's saying at all. During this time when he was in prison, he was literally chained to a guard 24 hours a day. The guards were chained to him in shifts. So Paul is saying, I have a captive audience. Mm-hmm. They can't go anywhere. They have to listen to what I say. So he preached the gospel to every one of them. And as a result, the entire palace guard learned about Christ. Now, isn't that cool? Yep. So Paul's saying, I'm in chains for Christ. I'm in chains to tell these people how good God is and what he's done in my life, he will do in their life. So what he really is saying is, what Paul really says in every situation is, how can I serve God in this particular situation? Mm-hmm. I'm in prison. How can I serve God in prison? I'm chained to a guard. How can I serve God in these chains? I know. I'm going to tell them about Jesus, and they can't go anywhere. I love that. I love that. And that sense of purpose motivated him, got him through, and brought him joy. The reality is that chasing meaning is better for your life than avoiding discomfort.
That's a good one.
We might have to be a little uncomfortable to get to that meaning, but it will be better for your life. You know, Satan really gets in there and tries to confuse things. And he makes us think, enjoy something, it must be wrong, or our motives must be wrong. Because if our motives were right, we wouldn't enjoy it. And first of all, that's a lie from the pits of hell. He wants us to think that our desire and our faith are like opponents in a boxing ring, and that's simply not true. We think, why would God call me to something that I love? Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he call you to that thing that you love? And it's very likely that he will. So we need to follow our dreams, but we also need to be honest about our sin. Because in godly callings and in selfish callings, if you want to call it that, sin inevitably creeps in. It's our nature. We were born with that nature, which means selfish motives are actually going to tell you very little about whether or not God called you to do a certain thing. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because I'm enjoying this, my motives must be selfish, so therefore I better stop. That's what Satan wants. And see, here's the thing. Our behavior doesn't always need to change. Sometimes just our focus needs to change. Mm-hmm. We just need to keep our gaze on him. So growing in maturity doesn't mean abandoning your desires, but rather growing in the discernment of those desires. We need to be honest about selfish desires because that opens the door for God's grace to come in and readjust our focus when needed. Mm-hmm. But we don't throw it out. We keep doing what we know we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I think if we're honest, at least if I'm being honest, you ladies probably have this down.
Uh-huh, but, I'm sure.
But there are moments that I think I catch myself thinking about what I'm going to do, and it has turned into a selfish motive, or it has turned into about me more than about God. And that's those moments I have to say, whoa, wait a minute, God, it's about you. It's about you. Please do this in spite of me. You know, work in me. Don't let me get in the way. And just keep that constant check on what I'm doing and why I'm doing that. Because the bottom line is, I think more people are like this probably than not, is that, yes, we can't help but think about ourselves probably every day from time to time, we will drift there. But somewhere deep underneath that, we want it to be about more than us. And what greater thing than God? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So in the absence of true purpose, we swing between outrage and insecurity. We judge other people. We tear down strangers. And we do this because we're desperate for validation. So what appears to be pettiness or self-righteousness on the outside is often a soul crying out for significance. And so maybe sometimes when we see those things in other people, maybe we take a step back. Maybe it's a soul crying out for validation. And God, how can I speak into their life to bring them peace in the middle of that storm that no one even sees? So your calling, your gifts, it all matters to God. And it matters to the people around you because we're all interconnected. In this body of Christ, we are all dependent on one another. And together, we depend on God for everything. We can't escape it. We're individuals and we're not individuals. I think that's cool. I love belonging to the family of God. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
And you know, it's so, and I know you've probably all experienced this. You go somewhere, you meet a stranger, you talk to him for 2 or 3 minutes, and you think, that person's Christian. That person loves Jesus. And they hadn't even said anything about Jesus. But you can tell by their smile, by their demeanor, and you know, I'll say, well, so what church do you go to? You know, just to get them to talk about it. And I'm like, I knew it. You're my sister. You're my brother. And there's something so, I don't know, comforting about that. I just love that. And best of all, our purpose, again, is for our good and His glory. It makes us more like Christ. It delivers us from worthless endeavors. And it saves us from that quiet desperation of living for ourselves. Our purpose, which brings me to our last intentional area, and that's passion. When we say the word passion, you know, we generally think of energy and emotions, or maybe even romance if you watch a lot of Christmas movies right now. But I got to tell you, those are fun. I love those. I spent my Saturday morning with the Great American Family channeling. And I found, I think, the only Thanksgiving movie in the sea of Christmas movies, but it was awesome. Because I also love Thanksgiving, and I hate for it to get washed out by other holidays. But anyway, sorry, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. I saw this little thing on Facebook the other night, and it was a big turkey, and Santa Claus was laying out in front of him. And he's holding a sign up that says, wait your turn, big guy. I thought, yeah, I love it. But anyway, getting back to more serious matters. Passion actually comes from the Latin word passio, P-A-S-S-I-O. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not. But it literally means suffering, which is why we call the crucifixion the passion of the Christ, the suffering of the Christ. So in that sense, passion is a willingness to join Christ in His suffering. Now that's maybe not as fun as some of the other stuff we've talked about. But it is easy to commit to suffering and dying for Christ when you don't think you're actually ever going to be required to do so, you know, in your physical body. But the truth is, we are required to do that spiritually and to our flesh. We must be able to lay ourselves down. And that's not an option. That is something that has to happen if we're going to be reborn, which means everything old has to die so that everything new can be rebirthed in us. And dying just doesn't sound fun.
No, but then when you think about where you're going, you know.
Yeah.
One of my friends who's been really sick said, you know, it's win-win. If he heals me, it's a win. If he takes me home, it's a win.
Yes. Yes. That's very true. We just can't forget ourselves. We have to die for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, pushing ourselves aside is not enough. We have to literally be able to die to ourselves. And sometimes our insecurities, our loneliness, that pain and heaviness that we're going through, is God putting some things to death in us. It's not always a trial that we need to be delivered from. It's a process we need to go through. I mean, think about Joseph. Joseph gets a calling and then he's thrown in a pit. You know, sometimes there is a disconnect between calling and opportunity because some things need to die. You know, John 15:1 in the NIV, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So sometimes there are things in us that need to be cut off. And this reminded me one time several years ago, I was a claims adjuster down in Southwest Oklahoma, and I was driving to a claim, and I was driving the claims pickup, and I was out here on Highway 6 going south. I can show you the curb I was in, and this gigantic, I mean gigantic, tumbleweed blew across the road right in front of me, and I had to hit it. There was nothing else I could do. And so immediately I looked up in the rearview mirror to make sure it didn't get hung up underneath my truck. And what I saw were just probably 10 or 15 little bitty tumbleweeds about the size of basketballs just scattering across the road. And immediately the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, sometimes you have to take a hit to be multiplied.
That's good.
And that's that. I think that's what we're talking about this morning. Sometimes we have to be willing to die so that God can multiply in us what he wants to do. And it's not that he's burying that call. It's that he's sowing it into deeper, more fertile soil so that it can be multiplied. So I love that. I love that. Sometimes some things need to die, which means sometimes we have to take a hit in order for God to multiply us. So insecurities and loneliness, that can all be part of the process. But what we do is, at the very same time that God is trying to free us from ourselves by doing this work of crucifying the flesh, we turn to ourselves to save us. The focus is all about me. Why am I going through this? Woe is me. Pray for me. I'm being hit by at every turn. How many times have I been guilty of that? Oh, it's one storm after another. It's one thing after another. Well, hello, Renee. Maybe if you let God do what he needs to do in your life, the storm will stop. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
God's trying to save us from ourselves. He is not as interested in numbing our pain with encouraging words as he is in developing us and making us better, making us entirely new in his image. That's the bigger concern. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't care about your pain. And please don't get me wrong on that, because he does. But we need to learn to recognize that this may not be an attack. What is God trying to do in me? Is there something in me that needs to die? Is my flesh in the way of something that God is trying to do? And then allow him to do that work, because it's actually God's grace saving me from me. And this is not a one-time event either. It is a lifetime cycle, death and rebirth. Death and rebirth, death and rebirth, death and rebirth. It just goes over and over and over again. So just remember that insecurity is not always an obstacle in your path. Sometimes that is your path. And that's what God's trying to bring us through. And the truth is, insecurities contain lies and truths. And we need to face them both. They feed us lies about our self-worth, our self-esteem. And when they do that, we need to send Satan packing. But they also reveal truths about our idols, our misplaced priorities, our messed up focus. And we need to be honest about those things too, so that God can readjust. I want to read you quickly a quote from a book that I just finished reading called Free of Me. And it says, "That's the strange, surprising, upside down good news of Jesus Christ. Whenever you feel like a failure or a hack, whenever you worry that you're not a good parent or spouse, whenever you fear you're not enough or that you can't keep up with it all, there is that sense in which God responds, 'Yes, that's true.' And this is amazingly good news. You can be a failure. You can be not enough. And then you can stop trying to make yourself big enough or capable enough to carry the weight of the world, because God never designed you to do that. Your shoulders will never be broad enough, and your back will never be that strong. Once you realize that, once you run smack up against the wall of your own limitations, it's a mercy. That's when you finally taste the freedom of no longer striving, of no longer trying to be what only God can be." There's freedom in that. There's peace in that. There's rest in that. So when the painful work of dying to self comes, don't just wave it off as an attack. Don't skip your way out of it with some happy self-talk like we do. Bat down the lies, send Satan on his way, but accept the rest as a gift. That gift of smallness, the gift of humility, the gift of dying to self. It comes in an ugly package, but there's great treasure inside. And that treasure is joy and peace and a soul rest. Rest and give yourself time to heal. Allow God to do that work in you. You know, the Christian race is the only race you're ever going to hear about that includes rest. And the truth is, we heal to run this race, and we run this race to heal, because God never wastes anything. So those are the things God's been dealing with me about over the last few weeks, and I'm just working on it. I want to keep my focus on Him. I want to keep my attitude in check. And I'm just being honest, that is something I've really struggled with in the last few weeks, is my attitude. And I've caught myself, what about me? Why this? Why that? And it's just either God's trying to kill some stuff in me, or I just need, my focus needs to be adjusted. And I tell you this, this may be too transparent. I hope my pastor's not listening. But Sunday morning, I had some responsibilities in church on Sunday morning, like I do every Sunday. And I was kind of in this self-pity mode. Like, why do I have to keep doing all of this stuff? What good is coming out of it? What's this? What's that? You know how we do, the litany of things we tell ourselves. And so I was like, I don't even think I'm going to go to church this morning, because I had an extra responsibility on Sunday morning that I don't usually have. And I did not want to do it. I just wasn't feeling spiritual enough to pull that off. And I did not want to pull myself together and just halfway do it. And I'm just being honest. And I hope that you understand my heart here. And so I picked up my phone and opened up the Bible app because I thought, okay, I know, first of all, I know I'm not going to text him and say I'm not coming. So I better see if I can find something to go along with what I'm supposed to do this morning. So I opened up my phone to the Bible app, and it was on the verse of the day. And the verse of the day was, do not become weary in well doing. Said, okay, God, I got it. It's yours. No matter what, this morning, I'm what you got, and I'm going to give you my best, and you're going to have to make up for all the rest. And then I was reminded that the outcome never hinged on me in the first place. I love that.
Right.
I love that. And by the time I got to church, I was able to let God do something.
Amen. Amen.
It's cool. God's good.
Yes, he is. All the time.
Amen. And he wants everything.
Yes, he does. Will you pray to close us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you never give up on us, that you always work on us, and that everything that you have for your glory is for our good, and everything for our good is for your glory. And Father, I pray that you would just speak that into our hearts, make it real so that it becomes a governing force in our spirits, and that by your help, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will be able to become that living sacrifice that's a testimony to the world of the worth of our God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for being who you are, King of Kings, Lord of all, and for saving us from ourselves. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to The Hour of Power. It'll be on Facebook in just a second. As soon as we turn it off, it goes right there. If you missed any part of it, you can go back and watch. From me, Neva, from Tina, from my sister Renee. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you back in here tomorrow.
We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.